Welcome to the ERMI Podcast. I'm Joel Applebaum, Chief Content Officer at ERMI. Are you familiar with nuclear verdicts? These are massive jury awards that can threaten the stability of contractors and their insurers, especially when it comes to vehicle accidents. Carl Heinlein of ACIG will share five crucial strategies to avoid these devastating financial judgments in just 15 minutes. This advice comes straight from the popular Snap Talks at the 2023 ERMI Construction Risk Conference. If you're unsure what nuclear verdicts could mean for you, this podcast is a must listen. Enjoy.
I work for a captive insurance company. We have 40 contractors. We probably have about 13,000 vehicles, about right, Ryan, about 13,000 vehicles. But we probably expose about 40,000 people in vehicles every day. So my first job out of college, I worked for FedEx. Everybody that worked there was a professional driver. In my 30 years plus, I've been in the construction industry. We don't take a look at our drivers as professionals. We usually give them keys, they're superintendents. Hey, go out and drive. We need to recruit you. Do what you want to do. Take it on the weekend. Take your boat. With our organization, over the last 10 years, we've probably had almost $100 million worth of losses. So 2 years ago in Florida, there was a $1 billion lawsuit. Anybody remember that? Company had two trucks, and they didn't even cause the fatality. The public was so angry at the organization because they didn't care about their driver, there was no training, and they didn't care about their equipment. So it was $900 million of punitive damage. Now it's gonna go through the courts and all that, but still, it put everybody on their toes. So how many folks in here have a sufficient fleet safety program right now? How many folks train their drivers? In class or on the road or both? All right, so if I'm a driver and I sat in the class but not in a vehicle, am I missing an opportunity? Tricia set it up great, Matt set it up great, technology, safety culture, safety climate, leadership, and all that stuff. In construction, we can talk every day about falls. Everybody says that's the number one killer in construction. Horse hooey. The most dangerous part of our job each and every day is driving to and from work. Are people driving next to you good drivers? No. Are we good drivers? Yeah, maybe. So when we talk about this fleet issue, it's a time and comfort issue. Are we putting the resources into our drivers? And think about the exposure that we have. If we had somebody fall off the roof right now onto the ground, terrible situation. But if I have a superintendent out on the road right now and hits somebody, that's a game changer. I've watched companies go out of business because of vehicle exposures. All right, so now we set the table. Now let's think about what we're doing about it. So again, professional drivers. We don't typically have an issue with our commercial drivers, our over 10,000 pounds typically, because it's their job. Where we have the issue is less than 10,000 pounds because we throw them the keys. Maybe we get an MVR. Maybe we train them. Maybe we look at their MVR a couple years down the road. Is this making sense? All right. So when's the last time somebody ran an MVR on you? So we've got insurers in here, the smartest people in our industry. Let's think about what our exposures are and what we're doing about it. I'm gonna cover five things that we think within our captive because we've not done a very good job. 40 contractors, 13,000 vehicles every day. City, country, we just had a time change. Does that create issues? Weather changes up northeast, gonna get snow, sleet. When I left Pittsburgh the other day, it was 30 degrees, a little bit icy. So these are things that we really wanna kind of keep an eye on. And please, if anybody disagrees, throw it out to me. We have negligent hiring. Is that a safety issue? Is that an HR issue? Is that an operations issue? Here's where we create some issues. So we had Matt talk about safety and risk management, Tricia talk about safety. What we found in the fleet world, there's too many cooks in the kitchen. Somebody buys the vehicles, HR hires them, safety deals a little bit with training, claims deal with it after the accident. Does that make sense in your organizations? Nobody typically runs the fleet and all portions of it. Somebody touches a little bit here, and all that stuff. So when we hire our drivers, we've got to focus on bringing them in, spending time like anybody else. If they were a loader operator, if they were an excavator operator, are we spending time to make sure they had it operated? Are we doing the same for our vehicles? And I'm telling you, when you take a look back in your time and your training and all that stuff, we probably spend more time on talking about excavations and falls than we do about fleet. So then negligent training. Love that you train your drivers. A lot of folks typically don't because everybody's got a driver's license. Are old people bad drivers? Who said yes? Because I have gray hair? That's harassment. Telling on you. It's not that they're bad drivers, the reaction time's slower, right? How about young drivers? They good? Because they don't have the experience. Quicker, distractions, things of that nature. If you go in, anybody have a rental car down here? When you get in that rental car now, did it have a key or a button? Button. There is so much. I had a Volvo the other day, and there were so many gadgets in that vehicle. I mean, I had to sit there for a while and think about it. I think I'm kind of a smart person, but it took me about 5 minutes to figure out it's not a stick shift anymore. It's a twist gear. If my dad would get in that car, he'd still be there like an hour later, like, what in the hell do I do? Think about the rental car business. We throw people into cars. We never ask them anything but to sign a contract. So now think about folks that drive. Everybody in construction knows how to do what? Work. Particularly young folks or new folks in the industry, they never ask questions. I'll figure out how to drive the skid steer. So when we take our time and we're training our folks on driving, take the time to see if they're good drivers. It's okay to say no. And I can tell you, within our organization, some of the worst drivers are our owners. Been great working for ACIG, everybody. They're terrible, and they know it, but they want to get better. So how many folks use Smith System, National Safety Council, do an internal training program? I encourage you to do this. So if you get anything out of my presentation, one thing about fleet is, guess what? It also helps you off the job. Think about your families, your kids. Wouldn't you rather have good drivers that work for you that also work better as drivers in the public? Think about our exposures. I mean, we could talk about falls and excavations and electrocutions. Sometimes that transfers home. But better drivers are better for the community, better for your families. How many folks have teenagers? You look every day and go, boy, I'm worried about their friends being in a car. I worry about them driving. Do we have the same amount of worry with our teams? Just want you to think about that. So what are we investing in training? We've got micro training. We've got in-seat training. We've got in-class training. Toolbox talks, conversations, weather changes, slow down, route training. Think about that. Then we do negligent entrustment. How many folks in your offices just run down to the post office to pick something up or go to FedEx? They only drive once or twice a day. Are they still the same exposure that somebody drives every day? Yes, that gray fleet is killing our industry. We don't put any time or effort into them. They're only going down the street. We've had some of our first losses. I mean, Tricia and I worked together for many years. We've had some of our worst losses with somebody just going to the post office, and they didn't have an MVR. They didn't have a valid license. So those small exposures become big exposures. Who is driving our vehicles? How many folks have a no drive list? May want to consider it, because there's bad drivers. They're not bad people. They just don't need to be driving your vehicles. But we're afraid to do that because, Tricia said it, we're short in people that work for us. So we let people scoot through. How many know within your fleets, how many are the A drivers? Grid drivers, never any trouble. How many folks right now know who your bad drivers are? What do we do about it? We let them drive, don't we? We do, and we know it. We're like rolling the dice going, We got to think about who's driving our vehicles. The other one is maintenance, and this one, when I worked for FedEx, my mentor said, and I had everything west of Dallas and Houston to Albuquerque, New Mexico, about 3,000 vehicles. My mentor said, forget about the managers, go meet the maintenance people at every garage. And let me tell you something, I learned a lot. They told me who the bad drivers were, the good drivers, but also the maintenance of the vehicle is incredibly important. We're getting into different times of the year. Could you imagine driving out here with bad tires in the rain yesterday? your maintenance people are a key to your successful fleet. Don't overlook them. In many cases, people are afraid to go to the garage because they're the garage people. They're the key to a successful fleet. If you don't do it internally and you do it externally, spend time with them as well. Make sure they're certified, because what's happening in these nuke verdicts over $10 million, which is cutting through the roof right now, over 1,000 percentage change over the last 5 years of $10 million lawsuits. It is out of control. The attorneys have us over the barrel. Any attorneys in here? You're in here, you just don't want to say anything. I got it. Everybody has a cell phone right now, right? Do you think that tracks you where you're driving? Easy pickings for attorneys. Every vehicle that's been made since 1990 on has what in it? A computer. They track that. It doesn't matter if you have a camera in your vehicle or not, you're being tracked all the time. OnStar, what's it tracking? The attorneys cherry pick us. I was going 25. They go, well, between your phone and the OnStar, you were going 35. Guilty. So vehicles in the public doesn't like companies. They don't like our drivers, particularly when you don't do management, training, you don't do maintenance, things of that nature. So maintenance is key. Failure to follow your programs. How many folks have fleet programs, driver programs? When's the last time you took a look at it? You do it every year? Do you sit with your broker? You do it with your insurer? How many brokers and insurers in here? Please work with your clients on this. This is a critical issue. This is a life changer. People in your company can lose their lives. So could the public. So what we found too is the attorneys go, let's see your program. Didn't fire them. And it says after speeding, they gotta be pulled. Follow what you wrote, change it, get rid of it, or update it. If you get anything out of it, go sit with your team. This is not an individual sport. Sit down with your team, your broker, your underwriters, take a look at your program, because they are handing it to us going, your program says this and you didn't do this. Easy pickings for them. And then the last one, no written company policy. Regarding distracted driving, fatigue management, the policies are inconsistent. This one I struggle with. And all five of these, six of these, I think five we have a pretty good handle on. We're working toward it with all of our 40 contractors. But this one, fatigue, I can't get it. We struggle with this. We're in an industry where people like to do overtime. They want to make more money. They want to pay for their hunting camp or take their wife somewhere or their wife take their husband somewhere. How many folks in here have a fatigue management program? Some of the brightest in the industry. People are tired. Think about some of the people in here from last night. They're tired. Now, they work all day, and what do they do after work? They drive home. How many folks have a violence in the workplace policy? How about in your vehicle? You get an iron worker all ticked off driving down the road, what kind of weapons he have? He has a big old dually truck. I'm gonna get somebody. So think about that in your policy as well. Violence in the workplace in your vehicle. Fatigue, I want us all to kind of think about it. So if we're an airline pilot, we're a ship captain, we're a commercial truck driver, we have rules about fatigue, rest and all that stuff. But typically under 10,000 pounds for most states, do we have a fatigue policy? We have a lot of people that die because they're tired. So during COVID, and I'm gonna finish up, during COVID, driver miles were down. Fatalities were up. Driver miles down, fatalities up. Three things, and I want you to consider this as I leave. Fatigue was one of them. Distracted driving, what was the last one? Speed, fatigue, distracted driving. Do those make sense? Speed, fatigue, distracted driving. When you look in your car when you go home, think about how many gadgets and gizmos and things that go on in your vehicle. Please, I think this is a game changer. A lot of the stuff we do is on the job. I think that fleet is one of those things that perpetually works off the job and off the job. So really appreciate your time. Thanks for what you do. Enjoy the conference. Thanks, Hub, for hosting us, and Ermi. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Ermi Podcast. If you're looking for more in-depth sessions and expert insights on topics critical to the construction industry, visit ermi.com. and consider purchasing our on-demand sessions from this past year's conference to enhance your understanding and skills. Time is running out, so go to ermi.com now. Thanks for listening.